Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we're here this Sunday morning. Lord, it wouldn't be Sunday if we didn't start the day with you. Lord, we come to worship you and we want to hear from you, Father. Father, touch us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and teach us from your word. Give us something that we can use in our everyday lives to make us stronger, draw us closer to you. Father, we just thank you for all you do, Lord. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine and for the opportunity to be here together. Lord, speak through me now as we get ready to read your word and try to interpret it to the way you would have us interpret it. We just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll read my favorite scripture today. Some of you that know me may already know what it is, but I'm going to read out of Romans 10. I'm going to start in the 8th verse. And Paul is talking. And it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming." And what word is he talking about? And that's where my favorite scripture comes in. I'm going to read the next part of it. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, most of you here are already saved. A lot of you, I'm sure, that are not saved have still heard the term as to being saved. And you always hear that. And you're like, what the heck does all that mean? You know, what is being saved? It's so easy to say, well, you got to be saved. Well, okay, what does that mean? I know that being saved means I get to go to heaven, but what all goes along with it? Well, I want to read on a little bit. In Romans 10:14, it says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Now that's interesting. It talks about someone preaching to them. In other words, well, if they've been told that they're saved, isn't that good enough? Well, no, really. Somebody needs to teach them. I mean, if you read the Bible all on your own, you know, a lot of it is you can understand all by yourself. But some of it is a little harder to understand. And Paul actually says, you know, you might want to look up somebody that does it for a living or somebody that has studied the word more than you, because they can help you. And that's what he's talking about there. He goes on, "And how can they preach unless they are sent?" That's interesting. In other words, not just anybody can be a preacher. You know, you hear, when you listen to preachers in churches and stuff, y'all hear that everybody is called to ministry. And you know, that's true. Everybody is called to ministry. But not everybody is called to preach. Not everybody is supposed to got to stand up here and do this. When God said that I was supposed to do it, I thought he was nuts. I used to be petrified to talk in front of 5 people. And here all of a sudden he wanted me to preach in front of people. I was like, you got to be kidding. I can't do this. Well, it was pretty tough the first few times, but after a while it gets a little bit easier. But when you hear these preachers talking about ministry, then what are they talking about? Well, there's all kinds of different ways you can minister to people. You can help a homeless person. That's ministry. You can give somebody a ride to work that needs help. That's ministry. And there's all kinds of different ways. This is just one little part of it. If you look in the Old Testament, for instance, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, when Moses led them out of Egypt, there was only one tribe of the Israelites that was called to preach. All the rest of them just did regular stuff, just like everybody else. But that's not really my message this morning. I want to go on. I'm talking about what is it to be saved is what we're actually talking about. And it says, let's see, we're going down. I looked it up in the concordance as to what saved really means. What does the word saved stand for? Because the Greek and Hebrew words that the Bible was written in have a lot deeper meaning a lot of times than the English word. So when you look it up and get the translation back, you can see what the word actually means. Well, the Greek word for saved is sozo, spells S-O-Z-O. So I looked it up in the concordance and says, okay, what does that actually say? Now I know sozo means saved, but what is that? Well, here's what it said. It says it means to save or deliver. I'm going to just read through it, and then we're going to kind of touch on them. It says to save or deliver, protect, heal, preserve, do well, be whole or make whole. That's all the words that were under saved. So now, wait a minute, there's a lot more to it than just going to heaven, isn't there? Let's just kind of pick these words apart a little bit. To save and deliver, what does that mean? Well, obviously, we must be in trouble if we need saved. And you could use another word, you know, rescue. We need rescue. Well, what do we need rescued from? Well, I need rescued from myself because I get myself in all kinds of trouble if I'm all on my own. And most of us are that way. We need rescued from ourselves. See, the problem with us is that if you leave human beings alone, it's a lot easier to do bad than good. And be it just on a little bitty scale. You know, I'm not talking about going out and killing people, stealing cars and that stuff. It can be little things. You know, but if you leave us to our own devices, we just have a way of getting in trouble. Well, I think we need rescued, and that's what God's talking about. You know, I can rescue you from that. It goes on. It says to protect. Well, what do we need protection from? Well, there's a lot of things we need protection from. I can go right back to ourselves. We need protection from ourselves. But we talk about that there's an enemy, that there's a Satan, a devil. Well, if there's a devil, and we believe that, there's also demons, which are fallen angels. Well, I'd say there's a pretty good thing to get protection from. I would like to have God in my corner on that one. I don't want to fight him all on my own. So I would say the word protect fits in with save pretty good. So now I got God protecting, helping me, rescuing me from myself and from the troubles around me. I got him protecting me from the enemy. It says heal is one of the words that was in there. Does that mean we're sick and we need healing? A lot of us are sick. I mean physically sick that we need healing from. There's hurts that we need healing from. Now, it doesn't matter how good of friends you got and how great of friends they are. At some point, they hurt you. Now, we have a tendency to carry that hurt around with us, and we don't let go of it. You know, that's something that God could heal us of. If we give it to God, he could heal us from that. We don't have to carry that with us. And the, you know, the bad thing about carrying a grudge against somebody, it don't bother the other person. Or like, I mean, I've talked to people that have hurts that they carried for years. Oh, man, so-and-so did this 20 years ago. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, it is, when you think about it, ridiculous when you do that. Because that other person probably don't even remember the incident. Probably didn't know it. They were doing it when they did it. And here you are miserable and hurting and all this stuff because you're carrying all that with you. Well, we need to be healed from that. Let's go on. Preserve. Okay, what do we preserve? What are the kind of things we preserve? Well, you can stretch the word a little bit. We preserve automobiles. Some people collect fancy cars. You know, they restore them. You preserve fruit to make it last longer, you know, if you want to eat it over the winter. And there's all kinds of things you preserve. Well, you usually don't preserve things that ain't worth nothing. You only preserve stuff that's good, that's really good, or something that's worth something. Is what you preserve. Well, does that mean we're worth a lot? I think we're worth a whole bunch to God. And God wants us to succeed. It says this right here. He wants us to do well. So he's got our best interest in mind with the stuff that he does. And the hard part is when it talks, you know, having the best, your best interest in mind, you know, we don't always see that. I know I don't. You know, it's like you look at stuff and there's a scripture that talks that God will take all things and turn them for good for those of us that love and believe in him. And some of the things we go through, you look at it and like, now how in the heck can anything good come out of this? And it just, you don't see it. And a lot of times, even after it's over, you don't see it. You just don't understand it. And but that is what his purpose is. He wants us to do well. And so I heard somebody say one time that looking at life is like looking at the back of a tapestry, and there's just strings and stuff going all over the place, make no sense. And if you turn it over and you look at God's side, it's just a beautiful picture. And I always thought that was kind of cool. It's not something I came up with, but I borrowed it. Let's go on. It talks about, it says, to be whole or to make whole. He wants to make us whole. Now, if he wants to make us whole, that means obviously there's something missing that we need in life. Well, the obvious thing that's missing is Jesus Christ if we don't know him as our Lord and Savior. So that would be something to be made whole from. So if you look at the word saved, well, there's a whole lot more in there than just going to heaven, isn't there? We just recap it. You know, to save and deliver, protect, heal, preserve, do well, be whole or make whole. If we look at all those words and we think about them, save takes on a whole new meaning. Now, there is a small problem. And we can say no to that. It's a small problem. We don't have to say yes. We don't have to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The problem with that is, one of the main things, we won't go to heaven. We'll be separated from God forever. Now, you listen to the media and you listen to the news, you know, they always say, well, there's no, or, you know, just different people, you know, all religions get you to heaven, you know, you can do whatever you want, and, you know, I'm okay, I'm a good guy. Well, you know, all that stuff is great, but in the Bible it says that Jesus is the only way. And that's not something that I made up, that's what the Bible says. Now, if I believe the Bible, I have to believe that Jesus is speaking the truth. Jesus is the only guy that ever resurrected. Out of all the religions, he's the only one that did that for us. Christianity is the only religion that says your salvation is a gift. You don't have to work for it. You just have to believe in the Son of God. And how can other people then say, if that's true and we believe all that, that's great. But there's, you know, the other group that I was talking about that says, you know, you can do anything, and I can't understand how God could send that many people to hell and all this stuff. Well, I want to read a scripture. Did you know hell was not made for bad people? If you read Matthew 25:41, it says, then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was actually made for the devil and the fallen angels. It wasn't made for us. But how come so many people are destined to go there then? I mean, does God want to send all these people to hell? I mean, it sounds kind of cruel if you think about it. And how could he do that? Well, let's read another verse out of 2 Peter. It says, Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Wow. It tells me right there, he don't want anybody to go there. He wants everybody to come to him. Now, I heard a guy say on the radio, if you guys ever listened to a guy called Hank Hanegraaff, I don't agree with everything he says, but one statement he made I thought was great. I borrowed it from him. He says, you know, God will not drag anyone kicking and screaming into the kingdom. He ain't going to drag anybody in there. If you don't want to follow him, it is no problem. You can do whatever you want. It's totally up to you. It's up to each individual whether they follow him or whether they go their own separate ways. Now, if they don't follow him and then end up not going to heaven, is it God's fault? A lot of people seem to think so, I guess. But why don't we want to follow God? What makes it so hard about following Jesus? We got to give up self. All of a sudden, we're not in charge of our lives. I got to all of a sudden consult somebody as to what I'm supposed to do. I've got to consult somebody as to how I'm supposed to live. You know, just like you tell your kids what to do, God does tell us what to do. I mean, he has expectations. He doesn't want us to just do our own thing. He wants us to do what he wants. And when you do your own thing, that's great. But if it means separation from God, is it really great? So I guess the question I make to you this morning, and the ones of you that already are saved, and now you got a deeper understanding, hopefully, of what saved truly means, and maybe you can get even a better handle on it than you had before. But the ones of you that are not saved, you know, you need to make that decision. Do you want that separation from God, or do you want to be with God for eternity? And it is so simple. That scripture that I read at the very beginning, the one I said was my favorite, heck, I'm going to read it again because I like it so much. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise. And then at the bottom it even says he doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It don't matter where you're from. You can be black, green, white. It doesn't matter. There is no discrimination. So, think about that this morning. You know, I cannot lead anybody to Jesus. I can say a prayer with you, but I can't force you to follow Jesus. I can't make you want to follow Jesus. The only one that can do that, the Bible says, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can touch people's hearts and make them want to do things. But then it's your decision. So this morning, if you're feeling that knock on your heart saying, hey, you need to change your ways, there is another way besides self. You can follow Jesus. Doesn't make all your troubles go away, but it will make life worth living. And when you do have trouble, you got someone you can lean on. You know, some people say Christianity is a crutch. Yeah, it's a darn good one. I mean, it really is. I don't look at it as a crutch. I use it as life. But, I mean, it is. You can use it for that, exactly. Christianity can help you through all the problems. So, if you feel that tug on your heart, you need to make a decision for Jesus. Don't say no, because you never know what will happen. You don't know where you'll be tomorrow. I don't want to sound terrible, but I could leave here today and get hit by a truck. Sounds really awful, and it can't happen. So we need to make that decision. That way we can go to bed tonight knowing that if something did happen, we know exactly where we're going to go, because the Scripture promises that. Here, Scripture does a lot better than I do. You know, I can say this stuff, but man, if you read it out of there, it just works a lot better. It says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, once again, you explain to us what being saved truly is. Lord, without you, life is meaningless. You know, we can go do our own thing, but it's not fulfilling. We still have a hole in our heart that only you can fill. So, Lord God, I ask right now that if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus, Lord, that you would touch their heart. Give them the courage to ask him to come into their life. Father, only you can do that. And we just thank you so much for it. Lord, for the rest of us that are already saved, Lord, I just ask that you would give us a new understanding of what being saved is. Remind us what it is. Because we get to live in our everyday lives and we forget what it's all about. So, Lord, draw us all. Help us through these next few days till we meet again, Lord. And just let us have a good couple of weeks till we can meet up in Marvin again. Father, we just thank you for all you do and all you do for us. Lord, as we get ready to go out on the track to race, I just ask for safety on everyone. Lord, just protect every person, Lord, out on the track and off the track. coming to and from. As we mentioned, we never know what's going to happen. And you're in control, so we just trust in you to do what is best for all of us. We thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen.